What can you learn about life from an owl? A lot, actually, because whether or not these birds are as wise as their reputation would have it, spending some quality time with an owl was an eye-opening experience for Carl Safina, author of the new book, Alfie and Me, What Owls Know, What Humans Believe. Carl is an ecologist and a MacArthur Fellow Genius Award winner. His writing has appeared in the New York Times, Time Magazine, The Guardian, Audubon, National Geographic, Huffington Post, CNN, and elsewhere. Here he is to share five of his key insights.
Hi, my name is Carl Safina. I write books about the human relationship with the living world. I've got a PhD in ecology. I'm the founder of the Safina Center, and I'm a professor at the State University of New York at Stony Brook, based on Long Island, where my fabulous job title is Endowed Professor for Nature and Humanity. Here are five insights from my new book, Alfie and Me, What Owls Know, What Humans Believe. Insight number one, a rescued wild creature can become our portal into the wild world all around us. The COVID-19 shutdowns that forced us to spend our year at home coincided with the presence of a free-living screech owl, rescued near death, who we raised and then allowed to wander off at her own pace. Alfie surprised us by deciding to stay around our backyard, getting herself a wild mate and becoming a mother of three youngsters. The little owl in this story is a living being in all the ordinary, extraordinary ways. She is not a messenger, as some people believe owls are, but she's in no sense just an owl. Our deeply shared history as living beings is why Alfie and I had the capacity to recognize each other and be brought into relationship by that strange binding called trust. Trust was the bridge across which she and I and my wife Patricia shuttled. Early in Alfie and our relationship, I realized something mutual was happening. Alfie was becoming a portal to a parallel reality adjacent to our human existences. She brought us into more intimate proximity with the living world, softening borders between light and darkness and deepening perception beyond the usual human realm. Alfie was my passport to that older, saner realm, usually denied to foreign visitors. She was my little friend. Insight number two. Wild animals are individuals. Humans, of course, have differing personalities and temperaments, and people who know dogs or cats, to the extent cats let themselves be known, take personality differences for granted. Yet we assume that all individual wild creatures are the same, mainly because we don't know any actual wild creatures. But wherever researchers have looked for individuality in other creatures, they have found it. Alfie had her own particular personality, and her first mate was rather relaxed around us, while her second mate always tried to drive us away from their young ones. You might think that having been raised by humans, Alfie wouldn't know she was an owl. But while she continued to recognize and respond to Patricia and me with complete confidence and even physical affection, she responded completely normally to her wild mates and took superb care of her eggs and her young ones. Watching the owls for several hours a day showed me that courtship in these birds isn't just a phase, but similarly to humans, is an unfolding process. Alfie and her first mate, the one who's in the book, were at first very tentative. Then, as they built trust, the bond between them strengthened and they spent more time together, looking increasingly relaxed with each other. Physical mating also progressed, awkward at first, and then increasingly skilled and increasingly avid. Insight number three. We tend not to know or see them, but they are our neighbors. The 2020 COVID pandemic was fortuitously timed to allow me to closely observe Alfie's first free living year. Many people found a silver lining to that awful year in pets and gardens. Friends said that the birds were singing louder, but that wasn't it. It was that the humans were quieter. News media reports showed mountain goats on Welsh sidewalks, jackals in Tel Aviv, daytime raccoons sauntering through Central Park in New York City, deer wandering in a seemingly depopulated East London. The BBC showed us flamingos on a detouristed Albanian lagoon and pumas in Santiago, Chile. From Alfie's portal, I'd then re-enter the human realm and confront the headlines. COVID, unhinged politics, racial frictions, cultural factions, lying denials, lying assertions, troops clashing in disputed areas. For me, the daily rhythms and the quiet sanity of the owl's world contrasted with humankind's self-inflicted torments. Insight 4. Our culture's view of the wild is not typical among human cultures. Alfie is flesh and feathers. Her heart pumps blood red as ours. She has her comforts and her fears. These are everyday things, sure, but everyday things are the result of our planet's entire 3.5 billion year history. Everything is here now is a tenet of Zen Buddhism. This moment requires all of time. The whole journey is present. In our mother's womb, our temporary gills, fins, and tail manifested the genetic memory of life's family portrait. As adults, we retain and procreate our fish-originated spinal column, ribs, and organs, and the gill-originated jaw with which we voice human thoughts. The deep ancestor's essence is everywhere around us. We are one point in the unfolding. We are not just a speck in time and the universe. We are the universe and all of time in a speck. Alfie is a very real little being. Yet I suppose she is, in this way, a bit of a messenger. After all, Alfie has managed to convene us, you and me, here in this moment. For most of human history, indigenous peoples everywhere perceived that life and the cosmos are relational. Similarly, ancient Asian traditions such as Buddhism, Hinduism, Jainism, Taoism, Confucianism, and others elevated the human role in maintaining relational harmony among worldly forces. All saw in nature's diversity a unity with things deeper, bigger, and eternal. And physicists have indeed found that deeper things create the world we see. But then, in ancient Greece, a different thought arose. Plato posited an ideal realm outside of space and time and disparaged our flawed material world. Judaism absorbed his dualist split between ideal and real, and Christianity amplified it. Later, René Descartes' faith and his fear of Catholic inquisitors helped ensure that the West's philosophical underpinnings carried into the scientific and industrial revolutions this deprecation of the world. If I may overgeneralize, in almost all other belief systems, the world contains the most holy and important things. In the Western dualist perspective, the world is often the least holy, least important thing. The Western view has globalized as a worldwide monetary economy whose valuations reflect this devaluation. Physics, chemistry, astronomy, geology, biology, and ecology all affirm that existence is relational at all scales of space, life, and time. But we have created instead a transactional economic system that allows all parties to disassociate from their interactions and the consequences. Once we are sufficiently disengaged from the world and one another, nothing is horrific enough to unify us. Not mass shootings, not intensifying storms and rising floods, certainly not oceans of plastic, nor plummeting populations of birds and bugs. Dissociation is dualism's contagious ailment, civilization's self-generated epidemic. It all works overtime to turn the planet's once splendid living family into a broken home. Our systems depend on destruction of natural systems. Our way of living, writes Zen master Susan Murphy, quote, does evil by countless repetitive cumulative failures of care and conscience. Even those of us who are aghast help grease those gears. And here we are, simultaneously facing the extinction crisis, the toxics crisis, the climate crisis, while a world of 8 billion humans having literally set the natural world on fire just stares. It's easier to imagine the end of the world than how we will end our destructive habits. Insight 5. There is a lot to learn from wild lives and from other traditional cultures. Life on this planet is vulnerable, yet it's also capable of resilience. The spectacular recoveries of creatures like bald eagles and humpback whales do not fill me with confidence because their rescue from our pesticides and violence entailed long battles, but they certainly inspire me with hope. Saving them required merely a new willingness to value and accommodate other than human life. That's important because a few more accommodations are needed. Alfie has been a connector for me, not only between her world and mine, which is really a single world that we share, but between my familiar ways and my expanding perspective. Alfie opened the portal, allowing me to participate in aspects of life rarely available in a human-centered existence. Things small and lovely and often delightful have altered my view of her life and my own. The little things are the big things. In our accustomed lives, we think and act transactionally, but Alfie showed me that what's paramount is to live in relationship. People for many thousands of years lived in relationship with nature and with their communities. And if there is a major message to take from traditional and indigenous cultures, it is that to live in relation with the living world and the people around us is the direction we need to go. It's how we might heal. When we take the focus off ourselves, we become better, and so do the lives around us. To be fully present in life and love, so natural for Alfie, remains a work in progress for me. But Alfie is the perfect little Zen master. She lives a freedom untainted by critique or doubt, a liberty buoyant and accessible to her as the air beneath her wings. She is pure presence here now. Alfie showed me what's possible when we blur our accustomed boundaries. That realization can inspire a life's work, or it can be as simple as a little owl outside the back door.
Thank you, Carl. That was 5 Big Ideas from Alfie and Me, What Owls Know, What Humans Believe, by Carl Safina. You might also like our book bite for Flight Paths, How a Passionate and Quirky Group of Pioneering Scientists Solved the Mystery of Bird Migration, by Rebecca Heisman. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.